بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، الحمدللہ، tonight is the 27th of April in the year 2024. Alhamdulillah, we're beginning the 13th week, the 85th night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I've reached the stage where we're discussing the Battle of Siffin. And the second day has been completed. And then I mentioned that Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir, who was one of the right-hand men of Ali, he was frustrated because he was promised martyrdom and it seemed like it was taking too long. So in a hadith, in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 297, stated, there is discrepancy in the various chains. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 259 of the New English Translation. Abu Bakhtari and Maysara, rahimahumullah, they both related, Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhuma participated wholeheartedly in the Battle of Siffin, but was not granted martyrdom. He thereupon complained to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali. He goes, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have fought on such and such days, i.e. and martyrdom seems to be nowhere in sight." Sayyidina Ali replied, radiyallahu anhu, "Remove this from your anxiety, O Ammar," meaning don't worry. He, however, repeated this three times, and Ali gave the same reply. So let's look at this. So Ammar, like I mentioned yesterday, Ammar ibn Yasir, radiyallahu anhu, he's in his 90s. So he's well into his old age, and he's been promised martyrdom by the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's going to happen. But obviously he's not, he goes, when is it going to come? And he asked three times Ali, and Ali said, don't worry. It was promised, it's going to happen. However, the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was not going to deprive his blessed servant for much longer. For upon the third response of Ali, because don't worry, a fateful destined incident occurred. Ammar was suddenly offered some milk, radiyallahu anhu. He thereupon drank it happily and he said, "Verily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this will be the last drink I shall drink in this world." He then stood up and fought until he was martyred. SubhanAllah. So this is recorded in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 297, comments upon the chain of narrators. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 259 of the New English Translation. So look how beautiful. Not only was he promised martyrdom, Rasulullah told him what his last drink is going to be. And this is important. Did Ammar try to force the prophecy? So what do I mean by that? He could have thought, give me some milk. Because the Prophet said, my last drink is going to be milk. Notice he wasn't forcing it. Like you get people now talking about the red cows being slaughtered and the rest of it. You don't force prophecy, it happens. But when it was given, he smiled. He goes, this is my last drink, meaning this must be the sign. And then what happened? Shortly after, when he engaged the enemies, he was martyred. But adding details, in Tabarani, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 298, stated Sahih. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 259 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Abu Sinan Duwali radiyallahu anhu, he said, I saw Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu calling his servant to bring something to drink. Milk was brought in a bowl and he drank. He then remarked happily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have always told the truth. Undoubtedly, I will meet my friends Muhammad and his party today. So look at his iman. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think, well, it might not be. Maybe I didn't hear it correctly from the Prophet. He goes, 110%. That's it. I'm going to meet him. And look how beautiful. That's what he wanted. He wanted to meet the Prophet again. Because he separated for about just under 3 decades from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ammar was older than the Prophet. So he was actually a few years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he wanted to meet the Prophet. That was his yearning. In another report, there's another addition. He actually laughed when milk was presented to him. So look how strange. Just a few moments earlier, he's grieving. Where's martyrdom, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Soon as milk's presented, you know, he just couldn't stop laughing. He thought, Subhanallah. This is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad 4-319, Bazar al-Bidayah. In another report, our beloved messenger said to this most noble man when he was helping to build Masjid al-Nabi, the last food for you on the earth will be a drink of milk, and the rebellious ones will kill you, O Ammar. This is recorded in Abdul Razak, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, Volume 2, page 203 of the English translation. He states, this chain of authorities is in accordance with the criteria established in both Sahih collections. So it's a flawless report. So what's happening? Rasulullah is building Masjid al-Nabi. So what year was that? First year of the Hijrah. So going back 36 years before his martyrdom. So he's helping to build Masjid al-Nabi. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? The last food you will have is milk. Now why did he call it a food? Because it's a food and drink. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rebellious ones will kill you. Meaning the ones who cause your martyrdom, they are actually, they've erred, they've swerved. I'm going to explain this, inshallah. He joyously then left the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen and he called out, I am to meet Al-Jabbar and marry the Houris of paradise. Today I shall meet my beloved friends, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, for he informed me that the last provision of my worldly life shall be curds of milk. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, Volume 9, page 286, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 2, page 259 to 60 of the New English Translation. So what did he say? I am about to meet Al-Jabbar. So why did he use that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Jabbar means the dominant, meaning nothing can stop him. So how appropriate? He goes, could anybody stop my martyrdom? He goes, I am to meet Al-Jabbar. Then he says, and I'm going to marry the Houris. Now think about that. He's 96, 95. An old man thinking of, but this shows, because this is just the worldly body. I'm not far to go into the next. And he goes, I will meet my beloved and his companions because I'm going to have, I've had the milk. Sayyidina Ammar radiallahu anhu, thereupon on the second day with a fresh new zeal, jumped into the thick of battle once more. Now he knows. So what happened? Abu Abdul Rahman Sulami rahmatullah alayhi. Now just to add this, how many prophecies did the Prophet make? Think about that. It's not like you hear, I keep saying it again and again, but you got to highlight this. People get impressed by Nostradamus. There's going to be great plagues. There's going to be great wars. Anything specific. Right? If you look at Rasulullah, he's talking about specific things. He's talking to an individual. Imagine, can't get more specific than that. Your last drink is going to be milk. You're going to be killed by the rebellious ones. Look how strange these things. Wow, who's the rebellious ones? Why would they? The Prophet was talking about the side, the Muslims on the opposing side. And look at his iman. He had complete yakin in what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now he's gone into battle. Now he knows. So what happened? Abu Abdul Rahman Sulami rahmatullah alayhi said, I saw Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu approach Hashim ibn Utba, who bore the flag of Ali's forces. He said to him by way of encouragement, O Hashim, advance. Paradise lies beneath the shadows of swords, and death lies at the points of spears. The gates of paradise have been flung wide open, and the houris of paradise have been beautified. Today I shall meet those I love, Muhammad and his party. He then launched an attack with Hashim, and they were both martyred. So this is recorded in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la Ibn Jarir, Al-Bidayah, Volume 7, page 270, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 2, page 304 of the New English Translation. Ahmad relates it briefly, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, Volume 7, page 241, stated Sahih. So who's this other man? Hashim Ibn Utba. Hashim ibn Utbah was the nephew of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas was one of the 10 promised paradise. So his brother was Utbah. His son was Hashim. So obviously he's quite a few years younger than Ammar ibn Yasir. But because he's one of the main commanders, he goes, get ready. He goes, paradise lies under the shadows of swords. Paradise, the gates have been flung open, the hoodies have been beautified. They both launched into the opposing force and they got martyred, both of them. Indeed, subhanallah, it is most probable that Ammar was martyred by a group of deviants. So why do I say that? For Amr ibn al-As and his son, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, they both heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who killed Ammar, radiallahu anhu, and plundered his possessions will be in hell. The one who killed Ammar, radiallahu anhu, and plundered his possessions will be in hell. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 4170. And this is interesting. So obviously it was Muawiyah's forces that martyred Ammar. Because Ammar was on the Ali side. So if the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who killed Ammar and plundered his possessions goes to hell, it seems to indicate that it was like a deviant group within Muawiyah's force that killed Ammar. Have you understood? That hadith seems to indicate that. Note, why do I say that? No spoils are distributed between the sad event of when believers end up facing each other on the battlefield. I mentioned this. There's no spoils of war. Thus, the ones who martyred this most aged and venerable companion most certainly were amongst those who were misguided. Because the Prophet said it, they will plunder his possessions. So obviously, you could have killed him by accident. You can have that, you know, argument. But plundering, that's a deliberate action. The Prophet said, they'll go to hell. So now, why is this an important report? Because it exonerates Muawiyah. You understand? You say, yes, his side, if you want to be, you know, blunt about it, yes, Muawiyah's side martyred Ammar. Doesn't that mean that they're shaitans? No. Because it was a deviant small group within Muawiyah's force that martyred Ammar. How do you know that? Because the Prophet said it. Where's the proof they were deviant? They plundered his possessions. Think about that. How can you kill a Sahaba? That's bad enough. And then take his possessions. This is a civil war. There's no spoils of war in this. How old was he? With regards to the venerable age of this noble companion, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he said, rahmatullah alayh, he was martyred in the Battle of Siffin 37 AH at the age of 93 years. This is in Fath al-Bari, volume 7, page 91, Al-Isaba, Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 591 of the New English Translation. So why is that interesting? Who also was the same age? Amr ibn al-As. So the one whose life we're going through, he's 92, 93. Ammar ibn Yasir, he's known him all his life. You know, if you can put it bluntly, he knew him all his life. So it must have really hurt. Now, why is it even more interesting? If you're listening very carefully, who narrated the hadith? Who said they heard this hadith from the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who killed Ammar and plundered his possessions goes to hell. Which Sahaba heard the hadith from the Prophet? Amr ibn al-As and his son. So a person's completely baffled. He goes, why would he narrate a hadith which condemns his own force? Because he was a Muawiyah site. Because they're Sahaba, they're pure. He didn't hide the hadith. He didn't think, this is a black notch on our part because we are a Muawiyah site. And the hadith says the one who killed Ammar, because Sahaba just narrate, because we will convey what the Prophet said, whether it's for us or against us. So look how pure that was. He narrated that hadith. It wasn't Ali's force in narrating that. It was Muawiyah's force. So this shows that he was a pure man, as if we needed to know. So, a quick CV of Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhu. Those passed away to glory. Sayyidina Abu Yaqzan Ammar ibn Yasir. So his kunyat is Abu Yaqzan. The one who witnessed the martyrdoms of his entire family. So let's go back. He was 93 when he was martyred. So you're going back now. The third year of prophethood. So 20 years, add 20 years. You're talking about 50 years. So 50 years prior to his martyrdom, he saw his mother get martyred. They were being tortured. He was getting tortured as well. His mother was Sumayya, radiallahu. She was the first Muslim to be martyred. It was a woman. There's an honor for Ammar. Who martyred her? Abu Jahl. He actually thrust a spear into her private parts. Astaghfirullah. So he saw that. Later, when Abu Jahl was killed in the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah turned to Ammar. He said, Allah Ta'ala has taken vengeance for your mother. So he prayed. He praised her. So he saw his mother get martyred. Then he saw his father get martyred. His father was Yasir. And he was, I think, tortured so badly, he died from the torture. And he himself almost got martyred. They put him into a fire. And then eventually they go, say something, otherwise we're going to kill you. So something came out of his blessed mouth, just to save his life. And then they left him because he praised their gods. Then he was distraught. He thought, oh no, he goes, I've destroyed my deen. When he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, what was in your heart, Ammar? And he goes, what was in my heart was, I didn't believe what I was saying. He goes, you can say it again. Allah Ta'ala only looks into your heart. Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse praising him. So this was 50 years earlier. Now look how touching. He got martyred. We had to wait 50 years. So if you think about that, you would have thought it would have been better if he got martyred then. Allah Ta'ala decides. But they were all blessed with martyrdom. What else do we know? This was the blessed family who were assured forgiveness and paradise. Why? When they were getting tortured, Sahih Hadith in Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going past, he couldn't help them. He goes, patience, O family of Yasir, paradise is yours. So he promised them, they were all guaranteed paradise. He was the foster brother of our beloved mother, Salama. Salama and Ammar were suckled. So he could actually go into one of the mothers of the believer's chambers as a brother. He was the brother of Salama radiallahu anhuma. He was the one whom the fire would not burn. When he was being tortured with the fire, the Prophet made a dua. He said, Ya Allah, make the fire cool for him like you made it cool for Ibrahim. So what was strange was he was tortured, he wasn't feeling it. That's a miracle, obviously, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the one-eared, bodied, scarred mujahid. He lost the ear. In the battle of Yamama against the false prophets, he lost an ear. And one of the sahabas, I saw him, and he goes, one of his ears was dangling. And he was encouraging people to fight. So he lost the ear in the battle of Yamama. He fought in Badr. He was one of the elite 14 guards of Rasulullah. The Prophet said, I've been given 14 special guards. He's one of them in Tirmidhi. He was the first to build a masjid in his dwelling. Because he was a slave. He couldn't go out when he wanted to. So he thought, now we'd say, Sodda. He made his masjid his house into a masjid. Allah was pleased over that. He was one of those who called upon their Lord morning and evening. Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse saying, don't turn away those who call upon me morning and evening. He was one of the six. He was the one for whom many verses of the Quran were revealed. So many verses revealed about Ammar. He was the pure and purified one. Shaitan had great difficulty getting to him. The Prophet made a dua for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the one protected from Shaitan. The Prophet made a dua to protect him from Shaitan. He was the one whose guidance we were told to emulate. The Prophet goes, follow his guidance. Whatever he does, follow him. So the Muslims just follow him wherever he went. He was the one whose heart overflowed with iman. The one full of iman from his head to the toe, down to his bone marrow, the Prophet said. Because iman is soaked into his bone marrow, Ammar. He was the one who was as near to Rasulullah as the eye is to the nose. The Prophet actually said that because he's as near to me as the eye is to the nose. He is the one whom if one loves, he is then loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who hates him, Allah Ta'ala hates him. He has that much status. He was the governor of Kufa. He was Ali's right-hand man. He was the one blessed to choose the better of the two courses. He had that gift. Whenever there was two possibilities, he seemed to be guided to the best. He was the distinct martyr. He was one of the three elite souls whom paradise was eager to welcome. The Prophet said, paradise is eager for three. Ali, Ammar, and Salman. Now look how strange. We're eager for paradise. Paradise eager for them. He's one of them in Tirmidhi and Mishkat. And last but not least, this most noble man joined his martyred family members 50 years later. May Allah the Almighty be well pleased with him. And most assuredly, he certainly is. Ameen. So when did he leave the world? In the Battle of Siffin. So here, this was the turning point. Why? Because I'm going to mention the hadith, inshallah, in the next few days. But his martyrdom gave a second wind to Ali's forces. Why? Because the Prophet said, the rebellious ones will kill him. So that they thought, that's it, we now know. In fact, if I mention it from memory, there was a companion. His name was Khuzaymah ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, Ansari. And he kept out of the fitna. He said, I don't want to join this. I don't want to get involved with Muslims. Guess what happened? In Tabarani Sahih, when Ammar was martyred, he immediately joined Ali's side. And he got martyred. So he was hesitant. He goes, I don't know, I'm keeping out of this. Sahaba both sides, I don't want to get involved. But he was absolutely convinced. After Ammar was martyred, he joined Ali. And not only that, he shortly got martyred. So who's this Sahaba? Khuzaymah, just the name of the wife, Khuzaymah ibn Thabit. Right? Khuzaymah ibn Thabit, the Prophet said, he is worth two witnesses. Now what did he mean by that? The Prophet did a business deal with the Bedouin. And he goes, I will pay you the money when I get back to Al-Madinah. So the Bedouin was fine. When the Prophet left, somebody else came to the Bedouin. He said, I'll give you a better deal. Bedouin, you know, money-minded. He goes, what's the deal? He goes, he did another deal. So when the Prophet saw the Bedouin, he goes, where's my camel? He said, I've sold it. So the Prophet said, but you promised me the camel. He goes, no, I didn't. Where's your witnesses? There was nobody who witnessed it. Khuzaymah came, I witnessed it. The Sahaba. So the Prophet hasn't turned to me, he goes, but you wasn't there. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I bear witness that you receive revelation from the heavens. I don't see Jibreel. So I witness you did it. And then the Prophet smiled because he's worth two witnesses. So meaning he's the value of two men. Also, what else do we know about him? Something beautiful, there's a hadith. And that hadith, which I've just quoted, is in Abu Dawud. This hadith is in Ahmed Sahih. He had a very strange dream. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've had a very strange dream. What dream did you have, Khuzaymah? He said, I was prostrating on your forehead. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fulfill your dream. He lied down, and then Khuzaymah prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he prostrated with his head touching Rasulullah's forehead. The Prophet made it happen. So, very interesting hadith. Why? First thing the scholars point out, if you can make the dream happen, there's no problem. Go ahead and do it. The Prophet fulfilled his wish. Second thing, now this is a tremendous honor for Khuzaymah. He prostrated in the greatest place in creation. If somebody goes, whose head has touched the holiest place of creation? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart goes to Abu Bakr, Umar. It wasn't even the 10 promised paradise. It was Khuzaymah. Who can challenge him on that? I prostrated to Allah the Almighty on the head of Rasulullah. But Allah ta'ala wanted him to do that. Why? Because he gave him the dream. Why was he given that honor? Because he knew he's going to get martyred. So look how touching. Ammar ibn Yasir's martyrdom triggered others to follow Ali. And they also quickly got martyred as well. Radiallahu ta'ala. So no, these are incredible things taking place. But Amr ibn al-As, whose life we're going through, was on the side of Muawiyah. This also greatly affected him. So I'll mention that at the relevant time, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was the faithful martyrdom of Ammar ibn Yasir. The other lesson we can take, when you hear about the end of time signs, people, they're eager for it to happen. You noticed? For example, where is Imam Mahdi? The Prophet promised it. And he said, look, brother, it's going to happen. Just act like Ali. He's not worried. It's going to happen. The Prophet promised it. What are you getting? You know, don't get hot under the collar. You doubting the Prophet? Of course we don't doubt him. Allah Ta'ala's got his own timetable. When it fits, it will happen. The key thing is, make sure that when he does arrive, you're ready to, you know, no point waiting for him, making dua that he comes and then you go the opposite way. Astaghfirullah. So again, these are lessons we can take. Allah Ta'ala will fulfill whatever the Prophet has told him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والاصل الحق والاصل السبب خلق الله